to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We are high atop a beautiful Christ Cathedral in the Tower of Hope, and we are here with one of my favorite people, the Director of Youth and Young Adults for the Diocese of Orange, California, Armando Cervantes. Welcome to the show, Armando.
Thank you so much, Deacon. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you today.
Well, you know, I feel like I should get an autograph since now you have your own radio show. So tell us about the radio show. What's the show?
Oh, well, we're blessed and always just opening to the Spirit and opening to where God is calling us. And so we're beginning. We're in the process. I think this is the first time we're going to air it live. So thank you for that, Deacon. Called This Is Church. And it's a radio show that we are doing, both myself and a colleague of mine, Trisha Tembrell. She's a former youth minister here in the Diocese of Orange, but currently works for Life Teen International. And really the goal of the show is talking about church. This is church. And our church is made up of wonderful and amazing people who need to be held up and lifted up as wonderful models of holiness.
Well, you are wonderful and amazing, if I do say so myself. I get so energized when I'm around you. Tell us about your story. Where'd you grow up and Cradle Catholic, I believe.
Cradle
right?
Catholic, yeah. It is. Yes, yes, yes. My story really is all in Orange County, actually, believe it or not. Born and raised in Orange County, always part of the church. My parents, very engaged, very involved. My mom, was a catechist, ever since I remember, and I remember her dragging me along, not just to go to the classes, but then to help her out and clean her classroom. And, you know, I remember when I was younger, I always wanted to have a cool story. I wanted to tell you that I left the church and, you know, had to go and left and then came back. But, you know, the truth is that never happened. I had great role models who always supported me. And as I grew into both my kind of just my work, my education and my family life, God has always been a part of that. And I've had two wonderful witnesses of faith in my mom and my dad. I always give them a lot of credit for my faith. My mom was what you would call the typical Catholic, right? Going to Mass, praying the rosary, making sure that we are doing stuff that had to do with the faith. After Mass, she would say, what was the homily about? You know, we're not going anywhere until I hear what you heard at the homily. That was my mom. My dad was the opposite. My dad would fall asleep at Mass, even though my mom would nudge at him. My dad, as soon as my mom said, I think I need to pray the rosary now, my dad said, oh, there's something going on outside I got to go take care of.
The Dodgers are on, or the Angels are on, or someone's on the air.
That is exactly it. But from my dad's side, I really got the service oriented. He was a worker. He was a, let me go help someone. He saw someone on the street, and he would stop the car and say, hey, let's go give them something. We went to a restaurant and we had extra food. That food would probably never make it home because my dad was right away watching, checking to see if someone needed something. If a priest needed help with something or a priest mentioned at Mass, hey, I need help cleaning something, painting something, my dad would be the first one to jump on and do that. And I think having the balance of those two witnesses in my life really made a powerful impression.
My brothers and sisters, this is Deacon Steve Greco. We are empowered by the Spirit with someone who is empowered by the Spirit. With Armando Cervantes, the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry for the Diocese of Orange. And as I listen to you, you know, it's really fascinating to me to hear the impact of, certainly I believe it because it's so critical, but the impact that parents have on their children in different ways. The way that your mother basically said, it's not an option here to go to church. It's not right. An option to pray the rosary. It's not an option to listen and be involved. Your father, it's not an option to live out your faith.
That's right.
Because as it says in James, you know, if we have faith but not works, you know, is our faith dead? I mean, is it really alive? The point is, my brothers and sisters, is that you who are listening, who are parents, our grandparents, you can make a gigantic difference by your testimony of living out your faith and asking your children to say, hey, guess what? What did you hear at Mass? You know, what was that gospel? What was that teaching? What was, you know, if they break away in children's liturgy, what did you talk about? Those things, you know, as we start talking about youth ministry, you know, it starts even prior to, or how do you define youth ministry? What age?
You know, youth ministry usually is adolescence, and usually that's junior high and high school.
But it really can start, it should start way before then.
Oh, right? Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, we, you know, children's ministry is so vitally important, even preparation. We, you know, we have this sad reality in our church that sometimes we have these sacraments of First Communion, Confirmation filled up to the brim of with young people. And then all of a sudden after that or before that, you know, we're hearing crickets.
Exactly. That's why it was interesting. As you know, I'm on the committee here in the diocese for the evangelization.
Oh, wonderful.
And we were talking about the, I guess it's the Diocese of Phoenix that have early confirmation.
That's right. Yeah, they went back to restored order.
Restored order, which for our audience, tell us what that is.
Well, you know, in a lot of dioceses currently, we see confirmation being done in the high school age group, maybe junior high to high school or maybe high school. Restored order are bishops who jump in and say, you know, maybe it's time to bring that back to what we would say the correct order of the sacraments, which is confirmation between baptism and First Communion. And that has given, in some dioceses, an opportunity to reflect on how do we really share the faith? How really do we share the beauty of sacraments brought to our young people?
The challenge, of course, is that, you know, to keep them going as they get into high school and so forth. The point is that, my brothers and sisters, you make an impact, a huge impact by what you say, what you do, what you believe in. But I believe very strongly, Armando, that as parents, I'm a parent of three children and obviously all grown now and four grandchildren. How you live out your faith and your walk makes a gigantic difference on those people that you love. And it is a responsibility we have as parents to say yes to Jesus in a way that is going to impact our family.
Deacon, you are so right. I mean, as a director of youth and young adults, you don't know how many times I see this, that parents have somehow this thought that, well, you know, Armando, I just don't understand. I just don't know it as well. So I'll just take my son or daughter to the church and the church can do that. And so many times I say, you know, we can be great partners with you, but please don't just give us that responsibility. Please, parents, share your faith at home. Express it in your own way. It doesn't mean you have to be like my mom praying the rosary. Believe me, my dad didn't like praying the rosary. Believe me, I saw my dad fall asleep at Mass. But to be able to hear him and see him act out his faith made an impression on me. Seeing my mom being a witness of that faith life is a huge witness to us, who sometimes parents say, well, they're not even watching. They don't care what we do. Believe me, they care more than you give them credit.
And they're watching everything we do.
Now, watching.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
All right, let's hear the elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room is this. There are a lot of people that say, I'm not sure I really believe like I need to, or I'm fire like I need to, or, you know, I'm not as committed as I want to be. Yeah, it's kind of like an insurance policy. I may show up on Sundays just in case. But there's this yearning, my brothers and sisters, when you're listening in right now, there's a reason that God had you turn on this radio station and this radio show just at this moment in time, that God is calling you. John 15:16, it's not you who chose me, but I who chose you and anointed you to bear fruit. You are being called to say yes to Jesus in a deeper way. And it really starts with that. You know, and St. Mother Teresa used to say, you can't share what you don't have. And part of the issue is the fact that with so many adults, so many parents right now, maybe they just, you know, they don't believe like they want to. But that's okay as long as you then say, Lord, I want to believe more. I want to change. Your thoughts on that?
You know, but you're so right. I mean, as I was mentioning, it's not how much you know. It's the fact that you're willing to explore, that you're discovering. I mean, I see some wonderful experiences of parents who are open to say, you know, I just want to learn too. And that child is watching you want to learn, want to go deeper. I mean, all of us, Deacon, none of us are perfect. Nobody in the church, you know, sometimes there's this misconception that, oh, well, I don't have it as put together as the person that's up there on the altar, as the person up there on the microphone. Believe me, let me be the first to say it. We are not perfect. We are on this journey just as much as you are. and our lives are made better because we're a new creation in Christ.
And so many times, my brothers and sisters, it could just be little things. It's saying grace, you know, just saying grace before a meal, saying grace when you go out, making that decision. Maybe before someone goes to bed, you bless them, or maybe say a prayer with them. You know, it's the little things that really add up to bigger things.
Oh yeah, and it's one of those things that can't just be done once a week on Sunday for 1 hour. It's something that needs to be repeated in our own way. If your prayer is 5 minutes, is 2 minutes, is 1 minute, it is still an opportunity for a young person to see. I don't know if you know the statistic, Deacon, and it's a powerful one. 82% of young people who see their parents express the faith will stay faithful and faith-filled, 82%. If they don't see any type of faith, only 1% will make it.
That is amazing, and I'm so glad you shared that with our listening audience and with me. You will hear me say that a lot. And I'll say, oh, who told me that? No, that is so fantastic. My brothers and sisters, again, the reason why you're listening to this show is because the Holy Spirit led you here. This is not a Catholic guilt trip.
No.
No matter where you are right now, we're all in the biggest room, the room for improvement. You know, we're all in that room for growth. But definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. You love your children. You love your grandchildren. You love your spouse, those closest to you, your friends. By doing nothing about your own personal growth isn't helping them. One of the greatest gifts you can give someone is to say yes to Jesus and to say, hey, maybe I'll listen to this radio show, or I'll get this teaching, or I'll look up online something, or you can go to your church, right? Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the truth is, at the end of the day, we have no problem sometimes as adults saying, you know, God loves you, God loves you. And we tell our children, God loves you, and we hear this message. But if you are listening right now and you have not heard that message for yourself, God loves you. And it's that love that you feel from God that all you have to do is share it. All you have to do is share that love.
God is love, my brothers and sisters, and God loves us unconditionally. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who love Christ Jesus. When you say yes to Jesus, you are embraced exactly where you are. But get to know your faith. Get to know the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Mass regularly. Go during the week, occasionally if you can. If you can go every day, so much the better. But it's so important. You set the foundation for your children, your grandchildren, you certainly help out with. But you set the foundation, and then when they enter youth ministry, now they are on solid ground. We're going to talk more about the road to this, to holiness through youth and young adult ministry. When we come right back, this is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of a miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Acclaimed actress Kristen Jasek brings her inspiring play entitled Person to Person to the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral on May 31st and June 1st at 7 p.m. This critically acclaimed production animates the life and mission of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Tickets are available at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com or by calling 714-282-3045, 714-282-3045.
Welcome back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are here high atop the Tower of Hope in Christ Cathedral, and we are with Armando Cervantes, Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry. You had this incredible story about your faith journey with your parents, and we were talking about the role of parents, and But how did you get this particular job and involved with youth ministry in general?
You know, I tell people it's all really God. God had it all planned out. And, you know, we always hear that. Well, God has a plan for you. And you always think, yeah, whatever it is. God really had this planned out because I could have not imagined being at the diocesan offices. In fact, I didn't even know the diocesan office was a job per se. When I was in ministry as a youth minister at a local parish here in the Diocese of Orange at St. Angela Merici, it was the priest, as I had mentioned before, it was the priest and my parents who were a great witness. And I remember, you know, being in charge of confirmation now as a diocesan director. I didn't even go through confirmation here at St. Angela's. I remember my dad saying, "How much is confirmation? We can't afford that. You already got confirmed when we went to Mexico. We don't need to go through confirmation again." And here I was thinking, well, I want to go through confirmation. My dad said, "Well, no, you can help your mom as a catechist volunteer." And so that's what I did. I was a catechist volunteer. I got involved with the church in a different capacity than a normal teenager would. And yet God still pulled me in. God still said, "I want you here. I want you here." It was in the year 2000 that I remember Father Al Baca, for those who know Father Al, currently now works for the USCCB. He was a baby priest. And he said to me, "You know, you're really involved in church in the Hispanic community. I want you to get involved in the youth group." And I was like, "What's a youth group? What is that?" I had never been in one. I didn't know what that meant. And he goes, "Well, I want you to get involved because they're going to go to World Youth Day." What's World Youth Day? All these things that the church had for our young people that I had no clue what they were. Well, World Youth Day is an international gathering where now St. John Paul II, back then Pope John Paul II, was inviting everyone to come together from across the globe. 2000 was the Jubilee year, and it was going to be in Rome. Deacon, I was always Catholic, and I always knew my faith, and I always shared it. But going to Rome with over 3 million other young people from across the globe kind of stamped my life and said, "You know what? Whatever you want, God, whatever you want, I will do it for you." And I remember coming back from that trip. I was an Allstate insurance agent. That's what my job was. And I remember saying, "You know what? Doesn't matter. Whatever it is you want." Then I started becoming involved in youth ministry and an assistant and supporting whatever I can. Before I knew it, the pastor said, we want you to be a youth minister." And with the diocesan office, it was the exact same thing. I wasn't even looking for it. And I remember Father Jerry back then calling me and saying, "Armando, we've prayed and we've thought that you could be a great candidate for this position." I remember coming in and saying, "Well, what is this in compared to what I do? What am I doing?" And every single step of the way, God has led me there. And whenever God calls, I just say, "God, if this is of you, then we will do it. And you will be the one to be made present." And it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing.
My brothers and sisters, one of my favorite prayers is, "Lord, open the door that only you can open and close the door that only you can close."
Amen.
And when you say yes to him, so many people think that, "Oh, I'm going to give up who I am. I'm going to give up all these things." You don't lose anything and you get everything.
Oh, you do. And you get it, you know, tenfold. And I just think it's we're so afraid of what can be because we somehow think that that is better, when what we don't realize is that the fullness lies with him.
And the excitement and the abundance life. I mean, Jesus told us in John 10:10, "I've come to give you life and life abundantly." The abundant life comes through Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes. I mean, and you know, you'd be surprised. I mean, the things that I have gotten a chance to experience because I've been completely and utterly amazed at how God has continued to weave in my life and say, "You know what? Let's try this. We want you to serve here." You know, mission trips that we've had a chance to experience. There's currently a group of young adults from our Diocese of Orange currently in Jamaica this week. Please pray for them.
Amen.
You know, I've gotten a chance to go on mission trips, and now I'm pushing others to do the same. The experiences that God has given me, I don't want them just for myself. We need to give them to others so that they too can be witnesses of his love.
Amen. We're with Armando Cervantes, Director of Youth and Young Adults Ministry for the Diocese of Orange. And we're talking about that yes. My brothers and sisters, you're listening to the show because Jesus wants you to say yes to him without any reservation. But as we talk about your vocation with youth and young adult ministry, and I want to get into the whole area of youth, tell us about what's working and maybe some challenges that you have.
So maybe we can, maybe we'll start with youth and then we can go with young adults. I think they're two different communities. So, my office directly and our ministry here in the diocesan offices is youth and young adult ministry. Youth primarily working with high school students, a little bit of junior high, a little bit of high school, maybe those beginning college, and then young adults, which is usually those in their 20s and 30s. And they're two very different age groups, because as you can imagine, when we start with youth, they're in a parent's home, they're coming in maybe for confirmation, maybe they are, you know, becoming rebellious and want to kind of push away from what mom and dad are, and they want to have their own person, their own identity. And so we have the challenge of really accompanying our young people into this, you know, kind of the identity that they're trying to form. Some who already feel like they have an identity, sometimes in Christ, sometimes not in Christ. And our job is to accompany them and journey with them. And some of the things that work really well is when we do just that. Accompany and engage the young person right where they're at, inviting them into that love of Christ, which is what you do, Deacon, so well in inviting your listeners. Can we remind people of the love of Christ? Because surrounding these young people and our world is images of violence, is people being hurt, is negative statements being thrown at each other. And we are trying to break through those barriers to be able to show them the love of God.
So many of us as parents or even as ministers feel a little bit of trepidation, a little bit anxious, a little bit uncertain, not very confident as we stand in front of, say, or even minister to, let's say, junior high. You know, I mean,
The wonderful age of junior high, those middle school students.
I mean, how do you get to them? What do you say? What do you do, you know, to share your faith and do it in a way that just, you know, they can receive it?
You know, Deacon, the middle school students, to me, it's my favorite age group, by the way. I love middle school and high school so much. The other day, someone invited me to do something with little children, and I said, I'm sorry, that is not my gift. I cannot do... And they're like, they're so much easier than the middle school students. And I'm like, no, they are not. I went to this first grade class because they needed help. They needed somebody to just sub. And here I am. What do I do with this young person? I don't know what to do with them. I want to have a conversation, and they're just like, let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. And I'm like, come on, focus.
Yeah, right.
But junior high, they're so hungry for good, solid conversations. Our junior high young people are looking for that identity somewhere, and they're looking to latch on somewhere, but they haven't found it. And they're looking in friends, in sports, at church, at school. A lot of times we miss the opportunity. Parents want to keep them to themselves. See, middle school is that age group where parents are like, should I let them out or should I not? I want them for myself. They're still children to me. They're still young enough. And I'm like, yes, they are, but they're hungry for more. Let them connect with healthy communities. Let them connect with people who can support their faith life. That's the idea of our community. That's the idea of church, being a community of believers that we can support each other. And sometimes our churches have forgotten that.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Powered by the Spirit with Armando Cervantes, the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the Diocese of Orange. We're talking about those junior high years and communicating with them in a way that really has impact. And maybe one of the things you can share with me and with our listening audience is do we communicate differently to junior high students than, say, high school students?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And
what
do we do that's different?
I don't know if you're going to like my answer, Deacon, but I will tell you anyways. junior high young people can be engaged through the silly, the gross, and the weird.
Okay.
Okay? You need to engage them where they're at, which that already age group is already a little bit on the weird side, right? I mean, there's
right.
a lot of things changing.
A little
changing.
Swirly at times.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of things are changing at that point. So
right.
if you're able to really engage with, gross, weird, and scary is they're looking for shock and awe. They're okay. looking for things that they haven't seen before. They're exploring the world, and they're at that cusp between, I want to be older, I want to be that high school student, and still being a child. And if we can have that dialogue and conversation, begin to treat them like the adult that they're starting to become, then they start paying attention.
For those listening in that are parents of junior high children, or certainly are involved with junior high ministry of any kind, and maybe you're an aunt or an uncle, maybe give us something very specific, concrete example, even role play with me a little bit
okay.
as to what you would say.
You know, I mean, I think to me, it's you have to start giving them opportunities that you would a high school student, but with supervision, if that makes sense. So
okay.
you know, we have a lot of ministries that engage mission trips. Let's go to Jamaica.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? I would send a college student, maybe a high school student. I wouldn't send a junior high student.
Right.
But that doesn't mean this missionary spirit doesn't exist in this young person. Let's start inviting them not only to a classroom to learn about faith, not only to a coffee shop to do this. Let's go somewhere and do something with them. They want to put their faith into action. It's no longer just talking about it or seeing it on a movie or reading it. It's doing it together. Our parents, if you're a parent, if you're an uncle, what does it mean for you to actually engage this young person by going out with them and doing something?
Would you take them to a homeless shelter?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Those types of
things.
This
is the time to start introducing what we want them to become as adults. Because these are the formative years, right? Everyone thinks of high school students as the formative years. In high school, a lot of times identity is starting to solidify. In junior high, they're still hungry for it. So being able to have these dialogues, experiences, and then a conversation that brings about, what did you feel? What did you experience? What did you see? Gives them opportunities to feel like, wow, I'm older now. Look, I'm doing these things that only older people do. And they're much more interested in those conversations. A lot of times, girls seem to be a little more mature for the dialogue. Guys seem to be a little more prepared for the action and activity.
I've had so many parents come to me and say things like, I want to get my kids involved or junior high age in feeding the poor or doing things that would really demonstrate, again, the love of Christ. I don't know where to go, what to do, and how to do it. What would be your answer to them?
I mean, depending on your diocese, there's probably a variety of things. I mean, in our diocese, I would say everything that I'm going to tell you is going to be something that, as a parent, you have to do with them. You can't just send them. This goes back to our initial conversation. This isn't just send them and let them go and we'll take care of it. We must do it together. You know, go to a Corazon house build together. Go to build a home with Habitat for Humanity. I'm sure there's a place of homelessness in your diocese, in your city, in your county, that you can walk with them, wake up in the morning, prepare some burritos, some sandwiches, and take it to some place where both of you together can experience that. And it's not just the homeless. I mean, there's so many other needs that you can do. We have armories. We have places that help. We can go to the prisons. We can write letters to someone. We can find ways of putting our faith in action. But this faith in action is the key piece. It can no longer be just spoken about. It can no longer just be, let's pray about this, right? I had a great mentor who would say to me, you cannot pray to God to feed the homeless if you have food in your refrigerator.
Amen.
Because if you are praying to God to help the homeless, God is looking at you and saying, you're my hands and feet.
Exactly.
Go and feed them. And our young people are hungry for experiences. And they've already heard feed the hungry. They've already heard the Beatitudes, clothe the naked, visit the sick. Now it's time to do it. Now it's time to go to the convalescent home and go visit and connect and play games or do something that puts your faith into action.
And it's so spiritually rewarding, my brothers and sisters, not just to talk about it with the head, but experience it with your heart. We're actually doing it. And I want to put a little shout out here to the diaconate and to deacons, because deacons, part of their ministry and their charisms is outreach ministry. They're usually responsible within the parish for outreach ministries. Go to your deacon and ask them and just say, hey, I would like to accompany my children to an outreach ministry of feeding the poor, the homeless, and whatever it might be. There are many, many out there. What would you recommend? You know, and I think that's a good starting point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have hospitals, you have prisons, you have homeless shelters. I mean, the list is not small. And I mean, even going with the Eucharistic minister and visiting someone to take them communion can show and can be an experience that can be powerful.
You are on Powered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're going to come right back to talk about that wonderful age of high school and how do we get the high school student involved with their faith.
Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. It's Deacon Steve Greco with Armando Cervantes, Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry. We've been talking about those years of middle school. Let's talk now about high school. High school usually, I believe, is confirmation and often usually a sophomore, at least many of them are.
That's right. Yeah, we see confirmation usually as a freshman or a sophomore. If it's a three-year program, sometimes even up to junior year in high school. But yes, normally in their high school years, confirmation is occurring. And somewhere in between, there's what we would call like the youth ministry, an outreach or a program or a group that engages our adolescents and our young people to be part of a community of peers to be able to live for Christ together.
So what does a healthy youth ministry look like?
You know, our healthy communities and our healthy youth ministries are ones that offer a variety of ways to engage. So they realize and understand that our young people are, well, they're different and they all have different desires and different ways of connecting. And so healthy youth ministries offer a variety of opportunities for the young people to engage. So you have, you know, social justice opportunities. You have prayer and spirituality experiences. You have catechetical Bible studies to deepen the experiences. You have even leadership opportunities because some, they don't just want to be a part of the listening crowd. They want to lead. Okay, great. We want you to lead too. So a healthy youth ministry looks very, for somebody looking from outside in might seem like, they're still confused. What are they doing? Can you just give me one youth group? Well, one youth group doesn't work. We find that a variety of ways to almost what we call on-ramps, different ways to connect our young people to the faith is what's needed. Because our young people, I don't know if you've known this, but the attention span of our young people is reducing smaller and smaller. And I don't want to just say young people because I feel like with some adults, it's the same thing.
Sure.
I think the last statistic I saw back in 2016 was 8 seconds is the attention span of a young person. So that doesn't give us a lot of time.
No.
But those 8 seconds means bite-sized information and bite-sized different type of information. Because remember, they're used to scanning 3 pages of internet at the same time and scan and moving down. So we need to be able as a church to offer a variety of ways. Because once we have the foot in the door, we can invite them to more.
When talking about confirmation, since I'm involved in our youth ministry and confirmation and interview the students before confirmation, and I ask them, why do you want to be confirmed? Which saint did you choose and why type thing? And what involvement will you have after confirmation
in
church and so forth. But many of them said, my grandmother wants me to be confirmed, and that's why I'm confirmed. Tell us about that. I mean, do we really want kids confirmed that really are not doing it for the right reasons? Or maybe we do. But you know, your thoughts about that. I mean, where are they in that whole process? I realize it's a journey.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're not saying they have to be totally on fire before they get confirmed. But nevertheless, it would be nice to have the right reasons to be confirmed. Your thoughts on that?
You know, you're hitting a really important piece that I have a lot with a lot of conversations with adults about. You know, what's the most ideal? When is someone ready for a sacrament? You know, the truth is we're living in a world that offers our young people so many opportunities, so many things, and in some ways their commitment level sometimes seems to waver, especially in faith. And you see a lot of young people kind of not choosing because they're afraid of what else is out there that I'm, you know, not choosing. And we have a hard time with truly engaging our young people in a solid and comprehensive way. So we assume that by inviting them to classes for 2 years, for 3 years, that these classes are somehow going to be enough for them to be engaged. And they're not, Deacon, to be honest with you. We sometimes, I think, shoot ourselves in the foot somehow saying that if in these 2 years we can somehow teach you what's supposed to be a lifelong faith journey. It's not, right? We can't. I hear so many times, and I hear our minister say this, rightfully so. This is not a graduation, everyone. This confirmation is not a graduation. But then if you think about it, we treat it like it is.
Right.
Because we say, here's the checklist. Here's the classes. Here's the to-do list. If you don't do the following, you cannot get the sacrament. And we ourselves are sometimes our worst enemies because we don't want it to be that. We want it to be a lifelong faith journey, an excitement in a journey of a young person where a young person says, this isn't the end. This is only a continuance of. And a lot of times it feels like it's the end. I have finally finished all of my classes that I'm supposed to do for the church. And I know we don't say that. But that's how it's seen to the lens of the young person.
Well, and perhaps we can do a little bit better job talking about post-confirmation and what is your involvement. Otherwise, why be confirmed?
Well, and you know, that there's a big question to me and a big challenge to our youth ministers and to our parishes in general, because to me, I don't think it's about one person, the youth minister. I think it's about the parish.
Absolutely.
The parish needs to engage young people at all moments, and then young people can say, oh, yeah, I'm involved in my church as a young person, and then there's confirmation that I want to do because that's a sacrament. But right now, that's not how they see the church. They see the church as, oh, I have to go through that confirmation thing that they want me to do. Well, what else do you have for your young people? Church? Confirmation program? Youth? Maybe one youth ministry group? I mean, I tell churches all the time, go on Google and find out what you have for young people. Go Google your own church and see what you have for young people. Do you see something engaging, exciting? Do you see an invite for our young people to say, hey, there's this thing going on just for you, teenagers, come on over? Very rarely do we have that. The only on-ramp that we have for our young people is come to confirmation.
My brothers and sisters, you can make a difference. The reason why you're listening into this show is that Jesus is knocking at the door and saying, you make a difference. You go to the pastor, priest, deacon, religious education, young adult minister, director, and you say, hey, what are our juniors and seniors doing, post-confirmed students doing? How can they be involved in music ministry, in ushering, in being an altar server, in leading other youth and other young adults? What are some things they can do in social justice? What are some things they can do, you know, with their parents? And there, when you really make a list, there's a lot of things. In our interviews, my wife and I interview the candidates that are being confirmed. A big part of the interview is, what do you do in post?
Right.
The scary thing for me is how often they blink their eyes and they didn't even think about it.
Right.
Or maybe someone brought it up, maybe someone didn't.
Right.
But then we say, well, now, what's your passion?
Right.
Well, I really liked it when we did this. I tutored. Well, okay, there's great opportunities there. Or I really like, you know, I play an instrument. Well, guess what? There's that, right?
Yeah.
And so we as the body of Christ have a huge responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
To let them know that there is room for them at the end. There is room for them in our church to do different things.
Well, Deacon, and you're modeling exactly what I think the listeners should be doing, and what all of us should be doing, is our young people need role models, right? Our young people, I mean, there's a study that says that our people at least need 5 role models as teenagers and young adults, 5 role models that are older adults, so that they can model the faith in a healthy way. But many times that's not what we see. I mean, our church should be full of models, right? Of role models, of mentors. And we're missing that, right? We have people who just go to church on Sunday, sit there, receive communion, and leave. That communion should have been the impetus for us to go out and minister, go out and serve. Some people say to me, listen, Armando, you talk about the homeless. I can't go do that. That's not my thing. That's fine. Minister a young person. They need something. You're great in finances. Great. You can teach and model that to a young person who's hungry for that skill. Your skill that God has given you can be used in our church. And sometimes our churches haven't done the best job in making that connection. But that doesn't mean that you can't go up and say, this is my gift. How can I be of service?
My brothers and sisters, the saying, it takes a village. It takes all of us.
Amen.
It takes all of us working together. Many gifts, one spirit. Each of us have a role to play in making a difference with our youth, our young adults, and with each other. But you can make a gigantic difference in what you do. So then, of course, we have the major challenge. Confirmed. Where are they? I don't see them anymore. What happened to them? You know, and of course, what we're talking about is really a big part of solving that problem.
Yeah.
And so forth. And as we go forward to get them involved. Now, college comes along, and you're separate in terms of working with, you know, different organizations on college, or are you part of that?
No, we are part of the outreach and the Newman ministries that we do in our local colleges here in our diocese, and supportive of our chaplains and our focus missionaries that we have in our diocese that serve our young adults. And so we are just as responsible for our high school students as we are for our college students, because the same thing occurs that you've mentioned. Let's say that we have a healthy parish, great youth ministry, great confirmation. They finish confirmation, and over 50% of them that got confirmed engage in youth ministry. So you have a healthy youth ministry. Guess what? They go to college. what happens? Where is ministry? Right now, you can even hear in our Diocese of Orange, we have three universities and all three have chaplains and some sort of outreach. But we have 18 community colleges and there's no Catholic outreach there. Right. So even here, if you were to review, and if I was to be completely honest, I would say we're failing our young adults who might be very engaged at the parish, but get to our universities, get to our community colleges, and no longer feel connected.
So let's assume, listening in right now, God has just anointed you to listen in, and you are a college student somewhere, or a parent of a college student that you believe really wants to make a difference. I now attend a community college. I want to make a difference. I want to start something. What do they do?
If they are interested, we have been helping two community colleges locally right now start a Catholic chapter. Since community colleges are public institutions, the church can't come in and say, we want to create something. It has to be the initiative of the student to be able to start something. But if there is a young person, if you are listening and you want to support us in this mission, if God has written this in your heart, then you call us up and you connect with us, because we would love to be able to partner with you and support you, giving you the resources to create that Catholic presence in your college.
So tell us how to contact you, if you could.
So if you want to reach out to me, we have, you can call the diocesan offices and I'll give you my direct line, but you can call us at any time and figure out how to support you, whether you're a parent, whether you're a student, or whether you're just someone who says, I want to support and I don't know how, please help me figure out how to connect. It's 714-282-3055. 714-282-3055.
Awesome. And email?
Email, my first initial A, last name Cervantes. So that's going to be a long one. It's A-C-E-R-V-A-N-T-E-S at rcbo.org. Hopefully we can put it in the notes of the podcast or something like that, so that that's also accessible to
awesome.
Your listeners.
And for all the people listening in various dioceses around the country, contact the head of youth ministry.
Believe me. Well, and listen, I sit on the national boards for youth and young adult ministry. If you are listening from across the country and you need a connection and you don't know where your diocesan offices are, let me know. I'll be happy to connect you. But if you can't, connect your local diocese. There's always someone that's passionate about youth and young adults in your diocese. There's always is. Most people say to me, well, you just have a really good diocese, Armando. There's others who don't have some. Believe me, there's someone. They might be all by themselves and need help and resources, but they're there, and they're excited to serve the youth and young adults of your diocese.
We're blessed to have a large listening audience that is Spanish-speaking,
mm-hmm.
and they, of course, have tremendous passion, so many of them, and want the best for their youth. Could you say something in Spanish to those Spanish-speaking people about their role in being parents and being guides and mentors to the youth?
Sure, of course. Sí. Para aquellos que hablan español, muchísimas gracias por estar escuchando. Les damos esta bienvenida y saludos. Sepan que también su iglesia habla los dos idiomas y está listo para apoyarlos en lo que necesiten. Si necesitan cosas bilingües, si necesitan cosas solamente en español, estamos para darles los recursos necesarios y apoyarles en su ministerio o en su vida familiar. Que Dios los bendiga y que sigan continuando escuchando esta estación.
And you said what?
And I said that if you are a Spanish speaker, thank you for listening, and that the church also wants to support you in any way, shape, or form it can. If it's only with Spanish resources, we have those available. Or sometimes I find, and I know I said this in Spanish, sometimes we find that bilingual is actually really important. Parents need it in Spanish, but they need it in English for their children. So we also have bilingual resources in order to support them and their children at the same time.
My brothers and sisters, you are on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're going to be right back to talk about young adult ministry and what you can do to make a difference. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems grounds of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
As Deacon Steve Greco, we are back on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about youth and young adult ministry with the director of youth and young adult ministry, Armando Cervantes. We've been talking about youth. Now we're making this transition to young adult ministry. I certainly love youth ministry, but I am passionate even more about young adult ministry, understanding the fact that they're our future. I mean, we're looking at them right in the face. And the challenges of young adult ministry, as well as youth and ministry for sure, but the challenges are quite staggering on young adult ministry.
They are indeed.
Your thoughts on this and kind of the approach that the Diocese of Orange is taking for young adult ministry?
You know, in the Diocese of Orange, we're blessed that there's such passion by a variety of groups, organizations, ministries. Our approach is... bring them all, you know. Our approach is the young adult population is a community that is very diverse, that's very mobile, and that's hungry for a variety of things. And therefore, we need to offer as many opportunities as possible for connection, because our young adults are not held to a specific parish or community. They are movers. They will travel, and they move in packs. So as long as we are engaging a variety of ways, they need to be fed, and we can only do that if we offer a variety of things.
Now, how do they find out that variety? What do they do?
You know, most young adults now at this point, technology still seems to be the best way of engaging them. We love our bulletins in our parishes, but they don't seem to be the avenue that the majority of our young adults go to get information. Social media tends to be still the best way possible. We have been blessed in our diocese that we have some great folks in social media that don't work for the diocese, in fact, that are out in the parishes, but that have wonderful gifts and talents for engaging. And so we've been blessed enough in our diocese that through creative social media initiatives, we have engaged great group of young adults to be engaged, and not only just to be engaged, in fact, to share and engage others in their circle of influence. So that passing on, that evangelistic type of opportunity is a really beautiful and powerful one that I think doesn't get enough credit.
I have a background of communication in terms of trying to ascertain the best vehicles of communication, the best ways to communicate to an audience, to individuals. And that's a big part of communication. We talk about young adults and we talk about youth and so forth. But with young adults, how best do we communicate if you're not a young adult? How best do you communicate with them in a way? Social media is certainly a big part of it. But when you're with them or as a minister or those that are just trying to make a difference in unlocking their faith because they have that desire, that's for
sure. They do. They do.
What's the best way of communicating?
You know, it seems to me that what gets underrated and what doesn't get spoken about enough is that this new generation, as we move from millennials to Generation Z, are hungering for face-to-face contact and authentic relationships. So, yes, they have thousands of friends on Instagram, thousands of followers on YouTube, but they are hungry and craving face-to-face connection. And in this world of technology, we've somehow lost a little bit of that. And it's important because it's the one way to connect and engage you and bring you in, but it shouldn't be the only way. And we've kind of have fallen, even as adults, we have fallen ill to this trap of only speaking in text messages or emojis or in messages rather than face-to-face contact.
I find it quite fascinating in restaurants even. You know, you can have a group of young adults. They're all on their phones. They're on their phones.
That's right.
You know, I mean, they're sitting having a meal. They're on their phone. Or they go to a party or something. They're all on their phones.
That's right.
They sit on the couches and they're on their phones.
You know, but you're bringing up a good point, Deacon. You know, as I have mentioned, if this generation who grew up with technology has been has been just living with it, they don't necessarily know how to do good interaction at times. And we sometimes as a church, we as adults, your listeners that are listening to us right now, sometimes need to engage and teach what it means to have good interactions. Remember, you and I didn't grow up with a cell phone. We, part of our bringing up, our learning was to have interactions, maybe sit in silence, maybe enjoy that silence, maybe appreciate each other in other ways. This newer generation does not. They've always had the opportunity to look to their screen rather than look up at the sky, to look to their screen rather than have an awkward silence in a relationship. So in some ways, they are hungering for something that they have not experienced. And we can't just assume that they'll experience it by sitting down and saying, okay, we're going to sit down and have this conversation whether you like it or not. We somehow have to ease into it and really show them these authentic relationships and conversations.
Now, you've mentioned a word twice that every time I hear it, I have this weird feeling come about me because it's such a powerful word, such an important word. But I hear those involved in young adult ministry and young adults say it all the time. And I'm not going to ask you to guess what that word is. You just said it twice. Authentic.
Mm.
I hear it all the time.
Right.
Authentic. It has to be authentic. What does that mean?
I think being part of this technological world allows us to see life through a filter. I don't know how well, as listeners, you use social media or you use, but you know the term Photoshop. You know the term filters. Filters are these things that can be put in front of a picture so it looks different, usually better. We live in this world that can be considered fake by many, or at least altered, if not fake. When I think young adults say authentic, they are hungering for something that isn't filtered, isn't put in a lens, isn't altered in any way, because they already live in that world and they're hungering for more. And to be honest, I think our faith and our God can offer that. Our God brings nothing more than this authentic love, but it's hard because there's so many other things before that. And our young people are looking to kind of break through some of those filters.
And it's fascinating to me the way you communicate with young adults, the way they come together in community, the way they worship. You know, things are similar, but many times different. But sometimes there's this going back to almost more traditional approaches. I mean, very much interested in adoration and,
oh, yeah,
and participating in adoration. Very interested in the sacraments. Very interested. You know, we talk about Eucharistic processions. You know, they love that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and yet sometimes older adults don't necessarily embrace it quite in the same way. Why is that, do you think? I mean, why do you think young adults have, you know, they're this yearning almost, again, for more authentic, perhaps, to really get deeper into our faith? And your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think it's not that surprising if you think of the life that they live, you know, to be hungering for silence, for solitude, for the sacred. Right. And so that the church becomes a space to offer something that they get nowhere else. Right. I mean, somebody the other day said, well, I just don't understand. I love praise and worship music. And I thought these young people liked it, too, but they thought it was too praise and worship. They wanted more hymns. And I said, think about it. Praise and worship, they can get any time on their phones. They can go to a big rock concert. There's Christian ones and Catholic ones. Where do they get silence? They don't get silence anywhere. But they see Jesus in adoration and it's silent. There are things that the church can offer that they get nowhere else.
It's interesting. Our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, is part of the Beloved Movement, the Eucharistic procession in Hollywood.
That's
and
right.
Working the streets of Hollywood. Well, this last time, all the leaders decided that they would do the, I can't remember, 4 or 5 miles, whatever it is, with thousands of people in silence. Mm. Now, it was almost all young adults,
right,
you know,
right,
in silence,
right,
you know, and for me, it was like, well, now, wait a minute, you know, we have the Eucharist and so forth, but aren't we going to talk to people? No, they want silence. Your thoughts on that?
Well, because silence is powerful, right? Silence gives a message more than anything else, right? It's a given that you'll praise or you'll yell or you'll say something or you'll preach in a certain way, but silence can say so much more, right?
So now as for our radio audience listening in, you have young adults as children, maybe grandchildren, whatever it might be. How can they make a difference in terms of sharing their faith and just making a difference in terms of the spiritual growth of those that they love?
You know, both teenagers and young adults, I find that they have a lot to say. They have a lot to think about. They have a lot to share. And they're Generation Z is the most educated generation that we'll have. They are knowers of a lot of information. I mean, they have information at their fingertips and they had it for their entire lives. And if you think about our generation's past, well, we went to our elders for information. We went to our churches for information. Well, we no longer need information. Information's already at our fingertips. Sometimes our experience or my experience with adults or grandparents is that they want to go back to be information givers. Because that's what they were, right? If I needed how to fix my car, I would call my dad and my dad would give me information on how to fix my car. Well, I don't need that anymore. I can go on YouTube and get information. I can go somewhere else and get information. But what I can't get from the screens is a relationship, is communication, is me sharing my personal thoughts. Giving people opportunity to share can bring you so much more opportunities for dialogue rather than you trying to impart some information that they can verify, that they can get on their fingertips.
That's really a very, very insightful and very important point of it is about relationship. And when we talk about our faith, it is about that personal relationship or that encounter, as we now say,
that's right,
with Jesus Christ. And so have an encounter with your young adult child or friend or whatever it might be to make a difference. Now, if you are a young adult and you're listening in, then tell us, what would be your advice for their deepening of their faith?
You know, if you're a young adult and you're listening at this moment and you say, listen, there's nothing out there, I haven't found it, I know how that feels, because I know that there's in some ways there's a lot of things and there's not enough things. But it's not about the events that you go to or the activities that you must find. It's the people that you surround yourself with. And so my invitation and challenge to you is go find the mentors that God has placed for you. They're around. You sometimes need to go find them. You sometimes need to seek them out, or you sometimes need to look around because they're there waiting for you to say yes. But don't be satisfied with one or two. Find at least five.
Amen.
At least five mentors that are out there. And that can be a priest. Priests are busy too. That could be a deacon. Deacons sometimes are busy too. There are others that can be mentors to you. And some of us are blessed to have a deacon or a priest as mentors. But believe me, God has mentors for you. But sometimes you must seek them out. But they are there to walk with you, to pray with you. Yes, probably to challenge you. But they will be one of the reasons for your holiness.
Armando, thank you for your yes. Thank you for saying yes to Jesus. Thank you for saying yes to this important ministry. Could you close us in prayer?
Of course, of course. And thank you, Deacon, for having us. And let's just pray for each other, because we continue to need prayer, especially in this wonderful and challenging ministry. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good and gracious God, we just give you praise and thanks for everything, Lord, that you've given us, the wonderful blessings and the wonderful challenges. Lord, we lift up before you the many youth and young adults, not only of this diocese, but of our world, Lord. You know their hearts. You know their searches. May you continue to bring them the joy and the peace that they deserve and that they are looking for. Allow us to be your servants, Lord. Allow us to be your hands and your feet, so that people can know your love through us. We pray all this in your most holy name. Amen.
And we bless all of you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You have been empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.